social distancing. I don't know where that term came from. I think somebody threw it out in like a think tank somewhere, and it's stuck. And it's everywhere. I go to Costco, please socially distance. You know, you go to...
Well, everywhere. Yeah, the news.
Do not socially distance yourself. Peace and blessings. My name is Khalil Hatar.
Andrew Wolf.
And I'm Mike Jakubowski.
And this is the Catholic Life Podcast. Now, depending on when you're watching this, listening to this, we're currently going through the tail end of the spring, hopefully the only version, but the spring version of the coronavirus safety measures. So right now, we're broadcasting from St. John the Evangelist Church in St. John, Indiana, and that's forefront on our mind. How do we reopen? How do we re-engage in this new normal? And so today we're going to be talking about evangelization, but also evangelization in this unique, abnormal time. How do we still get the gospel message out while still trying to operate within safe and healthy parameters? I'm going to kick it to you guys. It's our first podcast. Are you guys excited?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
A little nervous, but excited.
Nervous. Yep,
let's
go. No nerves here. Yeah. But yeah, I'm very excited to kick this off and see where it goes.
So one of the fruits, I think, of this time has been that we've been able to focus on media and been able to spend some time developing and creating ideas like this. Mm-hmm. So our goal is to hopefully help people grow in their faith, get to know Christ in a different way. I know there's a lot of people out there doing not only just podcasts, but Christian Catholic podcasts. Mm-hmm. So we want to hopefully contribute and draw others to Christ as well. What do you guys think? Why are we doing this?
I'm right on board with you, Khalil. I think it's a great thing to be pushing our content and pushing our videos and everything like that, and getting to our parishioners, not only our parishioners, but people all over the world. It's really cool to see the analytics, especially YouTube and Facebook, and see who's actually tuning in, and people comment, like, we're from this place, and we're from, you know, some people are from Europe, some are from different places. It's super cool to see that we're having that much of an impact on people's lives, and we're bringing Christ to them, even in this time of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool.
Yeah, and I think given a variety of different types of material that can draw people deeper in their faith is important, because I know for many, just watching a mass can be difficult. I mean, it's not the same, sitting in your living room, some people wearing their pajamas, drinking a cup of coffee, whatever they're doing. It's hard to really engage, to go deeper. So having a variety of things that can help spark that love of God and to that desire to go deeper, I think that's essential right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. And I don't know about you guys, but I've been just with this extra time during the stay at home and then the quarantining, all that good stuff, really been trying to delve in and see what is out there and how can I grow in my faith as a Catholic. Just because I work for the church, right? I need to be more intentional about trying to grow and not just continually pour out. But there's people like Matt Frad, who's got Pints with Aquinas. Awesome. He's doing some awesome work there.
Yeah.
There's the Catholic, I think, what are they called? The Catholic Talk Show or the Catholic Guys.
Talk Show.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing excellent work.
That stuff's cool.
Yeah. They really inspire
us. They did stuff even before this happened. So.
Right.
But
even more stuff.
As far as getting content out there that can really move people. So hopefully that's our goal. That's why we're doing this. So it ties into this idea of evangelization. And let's get right into it. So what is evangelization? It's a big word, a lot of syllables. How many is that?
It is a big word.
Do you guys still do the clap method? Evangel? Do you guys learn that?
Oh, to count syllables?
Yeah, back in grade school, yeah.
But. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, evangelization, I think I would define that as to go out to spread the good news, to spread the gospel. Gospel meaning good news. So the way that we spread the good news obviously depends on a variety of factors. But one huge factor is just the culture of whenever you're living as a disciple. So obviously it would have looked different to spread the good news for the early church, for the apostles, for the early Christians, as opposed to today with the internet and cars and huge cities and just very different from what the early church would have looked like. But that common theme is to spread the good news, particularly of Jesus coming to save.
So what is the good news? What are we spreading? Let's just not say we're spreading good news. Break it down for me.
So Jesus, God loves you. Jesus sent his son to save us. And because of that, like our like sin and stuff, that's been conquered. The battle has been won. You know, God has conquered evil already. It's been done. Like, just spread that.
So that's coming from a former seminarian. So I know you know what evangelization is. Mike, break it down for us.
So
what is
evangelization in a lay person's mindset? I'd say for me personally, just getting God's word and his grace out to people and just making people realize how important God is and how important he is in our lives and how he
how he's actually close to us,
works in our lives
yeah.
works in our lives through our lives and just bringing that to people is evangelization, in my words.
Yeah. So evangelization, then, if I'm hearing you guys right, and you're kind of approaching it from two different ways, it's just bringing Jesus to others. Mm-hmm. And so in order to bring Jesus to others, we first have to have Jesus or be in relationship with Jesus.
Right. That's super important.
What's that old saying? You can't be a channel before you're a reservoir. You have to be filled with grace and filled with the Holy Spirit before you can actually bring it to others.
Yeah, you can't give what you don't have.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So. So the cool thing is, the good news is actually it's not it's not a lowercase GN, it's a capital GN. The good news is a person, right? It's Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to proclaim. And it's, you know, you don't want to get lost in the technical and the theological. So if we want to even break it down further, what does it mean for the average person to evangelize? Because we're all called to be evangelists. Mm-hmm. We're coming from St. John, the Evangelist Church, right? He's our patron. So what does it mean for the people in the pews
to evangelize,
and the people listening to this to evangelize?
Well, before we go into that, I just want to touch on something that Mike said real quick, because one thing I think we were about to touch on is part of evangelization is getting people to understand that God matters.
Right.
Because we live in a culture where there's just apathy rampant. A lot of people just don't care about much. And it's a cultural thing largely. But I think a huge part about evangelization is recognizing that God matters, that, you know, faith matters, that grace matters, that it makes our lives better, happier. So I think, having said that, for the average Catholic to evangelize, I think there's multiple components, but one of the most simple things a normal, just in the pew Catholic, you know, just typical laity could do is just to be kind and charitable to others. Jesus repeatedly tells us to love our neighbor, mm-hmm. to love God and love our neighbor. That's part of living our faith. And so you don't have to go knocking door to door. You can simply just be loving to others. And sometimes that'll open a conversation, that'll spark something. And if that happens, obviously explain that, you know, Christ is the reason for your joy.
Right.
Do you think?
So the interesting thing is, you know, you mentioned two characteristics or two qualities that we should have as evangelists. And that's kind of living the gospel through our lives and letting that impact others. So to be kind and to love, those are two things you mentioned. I would take it a step further, Andrew. I'd say when the gospel tells us, 1 Peter, we read one of the imperatives, one of the directives is to be kind. So for us as Christians, that's a very particular thing, right?
Yeah.
It's not just be kind in the sense of I'm going to be nice, but it's be kind in the sense that I've been adopted. I'm a son or daughter of God. The Holy Spirit now lives within me. And I see Jesus in others, and others are to see Jesus in me. So even if they don't see it in themselves, when I encounter someone, when I interact with someone, I'm interacting with Christ. And that's where kindness comes from. There's like a different level of kindness that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So you're spot on, right? You can live evangelization through your actions by exemplifying it. And when you do so, you're actually living out better yet, when you do so, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to live through you. And so that kindness takes on a whole another dimension.
Because it's not just human kindness where we have that grace from God. So it like,
yeah, it's not like,
it, it's
secular,
like a whole new level.
Yeah. It's not like a secular humanism thing.
Yeah.
Right. Where I'm just being kind out of, it's a moral good. Sure.
Right.
It is, But I'm even taking it a step further, right? I'm acting supernaturally because I've received the gift of divine love. And it's out of that that I'm going to act.
Yeah.
We see that a lot in the our culture, what you're saying with like secular humanism. We don't want to get too philosophical with that term, but kind of, you know, trying to reduce.
Get philosophical, Andrew. Yeah, break let's down hear it, a little
bit. Well, yeah, come on.
I'm trying to almost reduce Christianity to, you know, just being a good person. Because like we see that a lot in today's culture. It's like, well, are you spiritual? Are you religious? And, you know, a lot of people will try to deflect the question by saying, well, I'm a good person. I try to be patient. You know, we almost reduce it to just virtues.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the biggest sin of our time. And this is an original thought on my part, but it's something that I've read and I've heard. But it's the sin of presumption. Why we presume that, hey, we're just okay. Like my sins aren't terrible. You know, I'm doing all right. There's worse people off than me. I mean, I might slip up every once in a while, but you know what? Sin is sin.
Yeah.
None of us is perfect outside of Jesus and the Blessed Mother. And so we do need divine assistance. We do need divine grace to help us in that relationship with God, to become that reservoir so we can become a channel.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because there's a lot of minimalist thinking. It's like, what's the bare minimum I can do to avoid hell?
Right.
You know, people aiming for purgatory. Yeah. But as they say, if you shoot for purgatory and you fall short, you know, then you're in hell. If you shoot for heaven and fall short, you're in purgatory. Yep. But, you know, you can't. It's dangerous to have a minimalist attitude. Mm-hmm. And then it once.
But why do you think we have minimalist attitudes?
I'll go first really quick. I think it's because if Christ's love and like faith hasn't penetrated the deepest parts of your being, you know, it's not going to radically transform your whole life. Like the metanoia is the Greek term that like that entire conversion Greek. Of heart and mind.
Wow.
And yeah, keep going.
And,
if you didn't want to get philosophical, but you'll bust out ancient Greek.
You know, you just got to go for it sometimes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you haven't allowed God to, if you haven't allowed Christ to transform your whole life, I think you're going to want to be minimalist because if you're not going to let him transform every aspect, you know, you're going to try
now,
to
I'm going
to
play devil's advocate here, Andrew. Minimalism is like the hot new thing right now. Right, you want to be a minimalist.
It's trendy.
Yeah. I'm sure it's been around since the early church.
So you're trying to tell me minimalism is bad?
In faith, yes. I think certain things you can be minimalist and strike a balance.
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, like if you're looking at something like work, if you're really efficient, you can do the minimal amount and still get a huge result.
Work smart, not hard.
Exactly. Yeah. But when it comes to faith, minimalism can be dangerous. I guess at times, you know, you can, if minimalism helps you go deeper in your faith, sure, go for it. But if you find yourself just always thinking like, I just got to check off this box because that's the minimum I need to get done to be holy, quote unquote.
I'm going to throw you a curveball here, buddy. So what about, ready for it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So what about when Jesus in the scriptures tells us not to be like the Pharisees who use lofty words, drawn out prayers, right? To keep it simple, maybe to keep it minimal.
Yeah. See, again, I'm not saying that minimalism is always bad. It's more like you just have to keep an eye on it because it can be dangerous. Because I think, well, as Catholics, as Christians, we're called to strive for virtue, which is always, you know, it's the mean. It's in between the extremes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think minimalism is one extreme. The Pharisees being very lofty, almost too philosophical at times. You know, it was all in the mind, but it didn't penetrate the heart. That's the other extreme.
Were they busting out Greek and conversations?
They probably were, you know, just going for it.
So I'm gonna build off what you're going with here, Andrew. So the minimalism, this idea, I do think minimalism is a good thing in the material sense, right? Because we don't want to be attached to the world. We want to be in the world, but not of the world. We don't want to be attached to our possessions, our ideas, our hopes that are apart from God. So in that sense, minimalism is good.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
In the spiritual sense, I would say we want to avoid minimalism or keep an eye on it because it can, as humans, we have a habit to fall into our comfort zones.
Right.
And what does St. Benedict tell us? We're not made for comfort. We're made for excellence. We're made for greatness. We're made to go outside of those comfort zones, not live life. One of my seminarian, I was in the seminary as well, for those who don't know. And one of my buddies, who's now a priest, used to say he doesn't want to live life on cruise control. So if you fall in this like minimalist routine of maybe you're not even there yet where you feel like you have an active faith life, but just your relationship or your stance towards God, if it's like just minimal bare bones thing, then you're going to fall into cruise control. It's just kind of going to coast. You're not going to grow. You're not going to push that relationship further.
Yeah. Going with that, minimalism, if, for instance, like if you have no relationship with God and you're just trying to start one, sometimes minimalism could be good. You know, it's like, what's one thing I could do that'll help me slowly grow deeper? You know, is it spending 1 minute in prayer? You know, something very minimal. If that's the case and you do it and it's helping you grow, then, you know, that's a good thing. Yeah. I go for it. But if you find yourself continually growing and then think, oh, goodness, like I'm spending too much time growing. I got to reduce it and still, you know, that's when it becomes dangerous. Yeah. But if you can reduce it in a way that you continue to grow.
I don't know. I don't think. Do you think people say that? Like, dang, I'm growing too much.
You're right.
I should probably tone it down.
Getting those gains too much,
yeah,
right?
I'm getting too much gain.
I'm growing too much. You got to stop this.
Spiritual Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, right.
That's gonna be a thing. So, but I see where you're going with this, Andrew, because on the one hand, you can minimalism can be a negative thing where I'm not doing enough to further my relationship with God. I'm allowing myself to get comfortable. But minimalism can also be a good thing in the sense that Saint Therese of Lisieux, right, one of the doctors of the church, she promulgates and she shares the little way, right? So doing little acts of kindness, little acts of charity, little acts of piety to deepen the relationship with Christ. So what is the difference here? Intentionality. So are we intentional in what we're doing? Are we intentional in our relationship? Do I want to get to know Jesus better? Yeah. Do I want to allow him to live through me more visibly and more fully? And that's evangelization, right? That's the first step. So we like to say here at St. John the Evangelist, we are a church of disciples who make disciples. Got to focus on that of disciples first if you're going to make disciples.
Right.
Yeah. One thing with the intentionality, I think that answers what you were saying. Most people aren't going to be thinking, oh, I'm doing too much.
Yeah, right.
But that's actually, you know, that's a bad thing because we're passive. We're passive with so many things in today's world. If it's not at the forefront, we just kind of put it at the back burner. And, you know, and you're right. Like a lot of people wouldn't intentionally think, oh, I'm growing too much. I need to reduce it. But if it's at the forefront, that's when the intentionality comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But what does it mean to, like, are there different levels of disciples? And are, for instance, like, if you're just learning your faith, are you called to be an evangelist still, to go out and spread the good news?
Yeah, I think so.
And like, are there different levels?
Yeah, well, Father touches on it all the time. You know, we have that club membership. There's the three-stage.
We don't have club membership.
Right. Sorry. But
get your membership card.
Hypothetically. Yeah. There's three stages of a Catholic. Mm-hmm. And first, help me out with the first one.
Yeah. So club member.
Club member.
Believer. And then disciple.
Disciple.
So that's kind of like Father Mileta's way of describing the stages of discipleship. And it's more like a spectrum. You know, you're like, you could be in between two stages, but... and it's not bad. Like, if you're a club member, like, if you just learned about your faith and you're just starting, that's awesome. Good for you. But we have to always be going deeper. And
so where were you going to go with that, Michael?
I was just going to say that evangelization, as soon as you start to become, like, you become a Catholic, you're baptized, you're confirmed, everything, your job is to evangelize, you know, as a Christian Catholic. The three stages, like Andrew was saying, it doesn't really matter which stage you're in, but like I said, it's still your job to evangelize in those stages and grow deeper in your faith while doing so.
Yeah, it might be helpful. Just let's recap then, because we talked about a lot up until now. So if evangelization is proclaiming the good news, we know the good news is a person, it's Jesus Christ, then I have to have a relationship with this person. If I'm going to proclaim him, if I'm going to share him. So we're getting into this question now of what does it mean to proclaim? So he said, if you have a relationship with Jesus, he lives and expresses himself, acts through you more fully. You begin to see him in others, even if they don't see it in themselves. I think what you're trying to ask, Andrew, is how can we proclaim Jesus wherever we are in our lives? What does that mean? And that shouldn't be an intimidating thing. I think a lot of people get intimidated by this proclamation, this idea of proclaiming. And they might feel like, oh, I can't do it. It's not within me. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that you take your Bible and you go stand on the street corner.
Right.
That's not what proclamation is.
But that's what I do, Khalil.
So, see, you're the guy that I avoid streets.
Yeah, carry the sign saying the end is nigh in Revelation. Yeah.
Nigh, wow, Greek and Old English.
Yeah, Old English, man. Yeah. Got to go for it, Shakespearean. Alas.
So when we proclaim, then, we can do it in a number of different ways, but it shouldn't be something that's foreign to who we are, because God wants to use us as his instruments in this world.
Dual, yeah.
So it's okay to stretch ourselves to do things that maybe get us out of that comfort zone, but it should come from who we are. It should use our talents. It should use our God-given gifts, right, in order to communicate Jesus. So if you're comfortable having this type of conversation, by all means have it. If your heart's more geared towards service, right, serve. If you do acts of kindness and charity, let the Holy Spirit work through you and do those acts and offer them up to the Lord, right? So proclaim, evangelize intentionally in the context of your personal relationship and prayer, but let it be a thing that drives Jesus, right, to others and brings others to Jesus.
Yeah.
What would you add to that?
Yeah, I guess I just wonder with the what Mike was kind of going through with the three stages. You know, evangelization would, I'm sure it looks different for someone who's just starting versus someone who
definitely, yeah,
is a
yeah.
disciple.
Oh, definitely. For sure.
Definitely.
You know, like a St. John Paul II evangelization looked much different
than
for any of us.
Right, right.
Or for, you know, somebody who was just baptized on Easter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but you're touching on that, because being a channel using the skills and talents that God has given you, that's a way to go deeper. And because, like, just for example, if you have someone who's just started the Christian life going deeper, mm-hmm. you know, they might not be willing to have a deep theological conversation and try to convince someone that Christianity is
the way. And they shouldn't feel
the
pressure that
they have to.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's not
what we're saying.
That's not
here.
The only way.
Yeah.
But that person might be able to just serve at a soup kitchen, you know, to do a simple act of charity, to love someone, you know, mm-hmm. to be present to someone.
Yeah.
These simple ways of evangelizing. And those are powerful, and those are necessary too. So I think that the ways we evangelize they're different based on where we are in our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, yeah.
And so you've got a relationship with Jesus. You're growing as a disciple no matter where you are. You might be in the beginnings of that relationship. You might be even born and raised Catholic, but you never engaged your faith intentionally.
Yeah, cradle Catholic. Yeah.
Cradle Catholic, yeah.
But now that you're awakening to that, let the Holy Spirit move you through, you know, reach out to others, connect with people maybe in a local church through reading of scripture. There's a ton of stuff on YouTube, a ton of stuff online where you can get inspiration. But then be moved to do things on your level where you're comfortable, and don't be afraid of kind of being pushed a little bit, right? Because by being pushed, we won't talk about gains, right? You hit the gym. If you don't push yourself, you don't pick up that extra 10 pounds.
Right, you're not
going to
grow.
You're not going to grow. You're not going to get stronger.
Not going to get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get better, right.
So how do we do all this in the context of today? Right, because right now, we can't be near each other. We can't touch each other. We're talking to people that we know through FaceTime and Zoom and all that good mm-hmm. stuff. But what does it mean to evangelize today?
Well, as we do here at St. John Evangelist, like this podcast in and of itself is a form of evangelization,
mm-hmm.
right? But we do a lot of, our media team has really grown in the past, 2 months, I'd say. Just getting videos and creating a daily mass, even a Sunday mass for everybody. People really enjoy that. Pushing that out there is evangelizing in and of itself through media.
Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing how churches have like,
oh, it's so
on.
Cool. Yeah.
They got online.
It's so
quick.
Cool to see everybody just kind of come together almost and push God, his greatness out.
To unite.
Yeah. It's awesome. And even other churches in our area around have, you know, come to us, ask, what are we doing? We've gone to other churches and asked, how have they been doing their things? And it's a team effort. It's mm-hmm. it's really cool to see. Yeah.
So that's like on a church level,
yeah.
right? Adopting media, using Facebook, YouTube, whatever you want to use. I mean, basically, if you have a cell phone, right,
you
and
can
an
do
internet
it.
Connection,
yeah.
you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what does it mean for the average person then? So if we're going to talk about a church level, mm-hmm. that's what we were doing, kind of using media to bring Christ out. What does it mean for Andrew or Michael or whomever to evangelize today?
I think a big component is, especially for like families, because, you know, being stuck at home with, you know, your family and then kids,
especially
families that are used to always being booked,
wife,
especially families that are always doing stuff, like this is foreign to them.
That's rough.
And
patience,
you know, you lose patience, people's tempers go off. The domestic church. So being present to your family and helping them grow closer to God is a huge factor right now for many people. Now, I guess to address more like for myself and like Michael, for, well, for, in Michael's case, helping with all the media stuff, that's a great way to evangelize. Mm-hmm. I'm recently married, so I have to be patient and love my wife.
Right.
But what about like a single person?
You should have, first of all, you're like 2 weeks married. You should
still
have
a grace period.
Yeah, you should have an abundance of patience, buddy.
COVID-19, man, it stole that honeymoon phase.
Do you think so?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was weird.
Jessica, if you're watching or listening.
Yeah, but like what about a single person living by themselves? Or what about like elderly people who might, you know, be isolating themselves intentionally very strictly?
Well, before we get to them, let's answer
that. Yeah, let's
that.
Do one at a time.
Let's get to the first thing. So I'll just add, I think evangelization, right? We want to do that during this time. It begins in the home, right? It begins with our loved ones, those that we're, you know, with day to day, who we're seeing, who we're rubbing elbows with. Let's take this full circle. It means being kind, right? We mentioned that at the beginning of the podcast. Okay. It means showing acts of love towards them, acts of service towards them. It's very easy when you're with each other so intimately for such a prolonged period of time. Mm-hmm. To start rubbing each other the wrong way, right? To start snapping and snipping at each other.
Right.
You know what? This is a form of evangelization where you're demonstrating Christ to those people that are under your roof and that you call family or friends or whomever. I would even say that when we engage in the world today, right? When I leave my house, whether you believe it or not, maybe putting a mask on, right? Distancing yourself from someone. That's an act of charity, right? That's an act of love. And so you might not be evangelizing Jesus in that moment, but you're growing in charity. You're growing in kindness. You're growing in all of these good things that you should as a disciple by engaging the world in a healthy, safe manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that wearing masks in public, that applies to everyone. So like single young adults, especially because a lot of young people, I know like myself at first when this first started, you know, I was a little skeptical. I was like, I don't want to wear a mask.
I think everyone was, yeah.
And you see, I mean, we know that young people are, you know, just going out in public. They're the ones that are not wearing masks.
Yeah, right.
And it's not that you might not be susceptible to it, but you don't want to inadvertently hurt or harm anyone else. So it is, I mean, we have heard this before. It's an act of charity.
Yeah. Or protecting others.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to go on a little tangent here.
Go for it.
And you guys have heard this before. So bear with me.
Yep.
I hate the term. Social distancing. I don't think we should be using the term social distancing. You heard it here from the Catholic Life podcast.
Here first.
Patent pending. Yeah.
Do not social distance. Physically distance yourself. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, we're not called to be socially distant at all, right? We're social beings. We need community. We need fraternity. We need friendship. We need one another. And I think the fact that we got online so quick that works migrated to Zoom or Google Meet, or I don't even think anybody's using GoToMeeting, but any of those online platforms shows that we have to be connected. Social distancing, I don't know where that term came from. I think somebody threw it out in like a think tank somewhere, and it's stuck.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere. I go to Costco, please socially distance. You know, you go to
everywhere. Yeah, the news.
Do not socially distance yourself. Physically distance yourself. Yeah. To maintain these healthy measures that we're talking about, but be socially aware and socially connected, spiritually connected. That's what we need, especially
during this time.
Right? If I'm physically isolated from people, I still need to be more intentional even about getting socially fed and spiritually fed. And
to connect with people socially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was reading the news a couple days ago, and there was this big thing about
with the elderly, a lot of them have no idea how to use technology. So it's, you know, it's difficult because it's like if they don't know how to use Zoom or whatever to chat with family, you know, the loneliness can start to set in, and that's extremely dangerous. Right. So people are trying to find creative ways to still spend time with like grandparents
together or
Yeah, because like you can still physically distance outside pretty easily. You can be 10 feet away, 6 feet away and still talk with your grandparents or whatever. And they especially ones that can't figure out technology by the, on their own. You need to do that. That's an act of charity. But
there's
when just,
there's something about like, not to cut you off, but there's something about like saying socially distance and like having signs everywhere. It's almost like people get weird around each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in the store the other day and it was at Chipotle the other day. And we walked in and you know how they have like the sign, obviously the signs are everywhere. They're social distance, social distance, 6 feet, you know, they got the little dots and we walked in and it was me and a couple of, well, it was my brother and then a friend. Mm-hmm. And everyone looked at you, you know, like, you guys are standing together.
Yeah, so close.
Whoa. Yeah. I was like, well, first of all, one of them was my family and the other one lives right next to me. So
yeah,
we're pretty much, but yeah, it is. It's weird. People
it's like
just
you're awkward
look
in public.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. They're like,
Again, do the safe things, do the healthy things. If we're called to physically distance ourselves now, do that, right? Mm-hmm. For your sake and the sake of your loved ones and the sake of your neighbor, right? Out of charity, we want to be respectful of others. But still say hello and still ask people to, be friendly, pray for them. Yeah. I think that's one of the coolest things. And when you ask somebody, hey, how's it going, especially during this time? Can I pray for you? Is there anything I can do for you? Just to be conscientious that people still have needs. And during this time where there's job uncertainty, where there's so many weird things that are happening, we should go out of our way to attend to the needs of our neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I'll touch on it. I feel like saying, can I pray for you is super powerful too. Like just saying that to someone, saying, can I pray for you for something?
Yeah.
I think that's like really, really like touching.
Many people though would be intimidated.
It's like, think so?
Well, intimidated to say that. It's like, well, how do I pray for someone? Like, I mean, I know how to pray, but like,
but that's
how do
why,
I come up
that's
with a spontaneous
prayer? You know, that's why you ask and say, can I pray for, you know, something? And like Khalil mentioned, I don't know, maybe last week, he said praying with someone on the spot can be super, super powerful. And even if that person isn't even religious, it could still help them throughout, you know, it could change their whole course of their next 6 months, maybe a year or whatever it may be.
Yeah, we could do a whole podcast or
just
a series
prayer,
just on prayer alone.
It's super cool.
But maybe in the context, I'm glad, really glad you brought that up. In the context of evangelization, prayer can be a tool.
Yeah.
So it could be something that you can ask somebody to pray for them and you make a note of it. Maybe you entrust it in your heart to Jesus, to the Blessed Mother in that moment, kind of privately, that you want to raise them up in prayer. But if you want to do like, I don't know, you want to go Super Saiyan or
spontaneous prayer mode.
Exactly. Yeah. Spontaneous prayer mode.
Evolved.
You'll take it to the next level. Actually pray with that person on the spot.
How would you do that?
Powerful thing.
How would you do that, Khalil? So many people would be scared to pray on the spot.
Here we go.
You asked me to pray for you. I'm going to ask you, but I know you, so I feel comfortable putting my hand on you. Andrew, can I pray for you?
Yes, you may, Khalil.
Yeah, and let's pray right now.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, not actually. We're in the middle of the podcast.
Okay,
buddy.
Well, here we go.
But I will be happy to pray for you after this is done.
Hey, there's always time. Yeah.
No, but that's how it happens, right? It should just be as simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you ask somebody to pray for them. Maybe they come up to you spontaneous and say, you know, I'm going through a rough time. Could you please pray for, you know, my daughter or my wife or whomever? I'd be glad to. You know what? Let's do that right now.
Yeah.
Right.
I was looking for practical tips for the spontaneous prayer, not how to do the prayer, like how to initiate it. It's more like, you know, when you're actually praying, because I know lots of people, you know, if
you have any tips, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, I've got tips.
I feel like Andrew's got tips.
You just
got
to keep it simple. Like people don't realize that, you know, they see priests at the altar. They, you know, see preachers and they can just go on and on and on, you know, for like, you know, 15 minutes praying. And people see that and they get this unrealistic expectation of what a spontaneous prayer is. Mm-hmm. The example that comes to mind, and I've shared this with many people because it was powerful for me too. As a parish, we were checking in with all of our parishioners. And one lady, one of the things we asked everyone, is there anything we can pray for you for? And one lady listed some things we could pray for. And I could tell we weren't on the same page. And so at the end of the phone call, I was telling her that we would pray as a staff. Father Mileta would pray for her. But then she stopped me and she's like, I thought we were going to pray now. Like, what's going on?
Wow.
And so just on the spot, I'm on the phone. And that's never happened. I've prayed with people in person, but not on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I started a prayer. And it was very simple. I just started with the sign of the cross and then asked God to watch over her. And then I just basically said, and please care for, and then because it was mostly like family that she wanted prayers for. And that was it. And then we prayed in Our Father at the end. And that was it.
It doesn't have to be a total extravagant, lofty prayer. It could just be simple as
30 seconds. Yeah.
God, please pray for
watch over these
people. Like, it's
so simple. Prayer then in the context of evangelization, right? If that's our topic, evangelization is this proclamation of the good news. You have to have a relationship with Jesus, who is the good news, to share him with others.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have this relationship with Jesus, that means you're talking to him. That's what prayer is. It's just talking to Jesus.
Having a conversation with
it's knowing
Jesus,
him as a person. It's talking to him. And when you're praying for somebody, all you're doing is you're inviting Jesus into that conversation.
Whoa, 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 Khalil. You missed an essential part of prayer.
Well, let's bring it up.
Listening. You didn't say listening to God.
Well, if I'm interceding for you, that's different than... See, now we're getting into the different facets of prayer.
Mm.
And I don't have to school you in this, Andrew.
Uh-oh. I'm just saying. You didn't cover that, Khalil. Just saying, man.
But... Buddy, wouldn't be appropriate.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'm trying not to like confuse people here.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
So then you're going to have people just staring at somebody. Michael asked me to pray for you. For those of you that are listening.
Khalil, please pray for me for my family.
Okay, so now we have to listen.
Listen to God.
I'm just going to stare at you. Let's listen together.
Man, powerful moment. You can just feel the Holy Spirit come down. I'm saying.
That's great. But that's what prayer is, right? It's just having a conversation and bringing God into it in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Any more Andrew's tips?
You
wanted practical things to give people.
Yeah. Well, I think the simplicity one, to just keep it, heartfelt. Like, it doesn't need to be, wordy. You don't have to come up with sophisticated, big theological words like metanoia. Mm. You just got to keep it. Have it from the heart. Just really pray with the person. Don't feel like you're just saying words. If you just say, Khalil, whenever he prays, he often, especially like with us, will often start with, come Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
and
we'll
then
take
it
a
just,
pause.
Just
right.
a, yeah, there's a pause. And in that pause, you can, and you center
can
yourself. Yeah, you listen. Yeah, see,
there you go.
Yeah,
there.
You got that moment.
Right there, listen.
And, it might just be 5 to 10 seconds, but it's like, you feel God's presence. You get in that state.
Definitely.
So things like that, if there's something like that to say, start off with, come Holy Spirit, that can really help you. And, it's in God's hands. You're a tool. You're an instrument of God. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not the one doing the prayer. You're not doing you're not giving grace. Yeah, mm-hmm. God's the one doing that through you.
Right.
So recapping then, evangelization, right? We're doing it practically, through church. We're evangelizing through media during this time, right? Trying to do what we can to use a lot of these sometimes free platforms, right, to get the message out.
Yeah.
Get a camera, get a phone, get an internet connection, and then just get comfortable talking
there.
Into it and putting it out there. Personally, on an individual level, maybe praying for others, growing in your own prayer, getting comfortable with it, but then praying for others.
Right.
Being kind, being patient, being loving, seeing Christ in those in your house, but also in those that you encounter. Not socially distancing, but physically distancing,
right?
Yeah. Being mindful that there's people out there who are in real need. So whether it's donating to a food pantry or food bank, or maybe supporting your local church because they're doing a lot of work to reach out to people in the community and to provide for them during this time. But those are all forms of evangelization during this awkward time.
Yeah.
Is there anything to that you guys want to add?
Let's just talk about some of the opportunities here at St. John. I mean, things like Alpha, virtual Alpha has been huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually doing really well, by the way.
Yeah, Alpha 201 going a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
I've been having small groups with the teens. We had a little retreat, all virtual. We've had to adapt. But in adapting, there's been a lot of things that have been better. Availability. This is like people are the most available they've ever been.
You can't say, I got to go.
Couldn't get a ride.
Yeah. Yeah. You got your computer, you're good.
Yeah. So there are just tons of opportunities at all stages. You know, live streaming the masses. Like, if you've got a robust faith life and you still need to, you know, celebrate that spiritual communion, we have those options. We have Alpha if you're just starting to go deeper to ask
those
questions.
So what is Alpha for those people that don't know?
Khalil, you should answer that question.
Thank you. Yeah. So Alpha is the first step of our, if you will, parish process. It's a program that we've adopted that's been used around the world. It actually started in the Anglican Church, and it's a series of videos that, if we're going to do a normal Alpha session, that we would normally, we'd watch 20-minute videos or so. It'd be a session where food would be involved. That's a big part of it. Fraternity, kind of socializing. But you'd watch this well-produced video that speaks the Christian message in very basic terms. So it doesn't get deep into theology. It's not lofty. It's very accessible. I think that's why it's so popular.
Right.
I mean, you're asking questions like, is there more to life than this?
Yeah.
Who's Jesus? Who's God? Why
do
you suffer? How do I pray? So Alpha is like it's putting your toes into the water, if you will. And it's building relationships. It's connecting with the community. What we've tried to do is, and I know what churches have done during this time, is take Alpha online. And so we've hosted Zoom Alphas where you'd still watch the video, but then you'd break out into discussion groups with other people and reflect on those topics, those ideas, those, you know, and where does that fit into where you are and where God's acting in your life at this point. And you might not even have a relationship with God. That's the cool thing about Alpha. It's like a judgment-free zone. Mm-hmm. But it just gives you the ability to maybe ask yourself, if you've never asked yourself, who is Jesus, right? He said he was God, so either he was or he was a crazy person. Maybe that's something that you should give an hour of your life to discern and to think about and to talk to someone else about. So that's what Alpha lets you do. And so we're running that. We're also running something called Alpha 201. Andrew, you alluded to this. So if Alpha is like evangelizing, it's asking those basic questions. Alpha 201 takes it a step further, and it actually establishes you in the Catholic faith. And so we're going to talk about, we're running an Alpha 201 right now. We talked about faith, hope, and charity. And what does that mean? Specifically, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. It's great to understand the kerygma. I think every Christian, and by
what is the kerygma?
Another Greek word.
What are you doing here?
I'm going to let you break down the Greek words, Andrew. So what is kerygma?
Well, it's like what's at the core of the gospel. Yeah. So just basically, you know, it's just that Jesus came to save and to love. Mm-hmm. It's just the core of the gospel.
One of my seminary professors used to say the kerygma was that the fact that the Son emptied himself, became man, took on flesh, walked our walk, talked our talk, died our death, and rose that we might be saved with him. That is the kerygma. That's what it means. And so when we talk about the kerygma, if you do hear that word, when that's the basic kind of teaching of Christianity. God became man to save us. And that's what you explore in Alpha. In 201, we're going to explore the church that Jesus established, right? The Catholic Church and all of her teachings, her practices. And so it'll look different every time. So prior to this one, I think we explored the creed. I did the last Alpha 201 as well. I'm trying to remember what I talked about the four marks of the church, right? So one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. So that's what we're doing in Alpha 201 now. So if you're interested, visit stjohnparish.org/alpha, and you can get information on signing up for Alpha or Alpha 201. Mm-hmm. We're also doing that with the youth.
Well, we did do it with youth, but they don't have a very good attention span. So I've been changing it to more small group activities. Well, the biggest thing, and like I think this is the case with lots of people, not just teenagers, but with everything, you know, shutting down, with the lack of social connection in many cases, the teens have gone, and I've seen this everywhere, but teens especially have gone crazy because they can't see their friends.
You're right.
And, you know, being a teenager is an awkward
time.
That's
all you want to do is see your friends.
You don't want to be at home all the time when you're a teenager.
Right.
So I'm trying to tailor how I minister to them to what they need. So a lot of small groups so that they can connect with their friends.
Good.
And still obviously grow deeper in their faith. But I recognize this is not the time to be like trying to get all this theological stuff in their brains.
Right.
This is the time to
Yeah.
Yeah. Help them still realize God loves them.
And what you're doing is you're developing relationships, mm-hmm. right? Because relationship, again, just driving home this idea of evangelization, it happens out of relationship. I've got to be, I have to be in relationship with Jesus, and I share that relationship with others that I'm in relationship with. That's I don't know how many times I use relationship in that sentence.
Three or four. But,
if you and I are friends, you're going to trust me.
Right.
I'm going to have the opportunity to share who Jesus is, and you're going to see something hopefully in me that makes me stand out, maybe something that's attractive to you, and that's my faith. That's the expression of Christ within me. So we were talking about being kind isn't just this human thing, it's a supernatural thing, or loving isn't just a human thing, it's a supernatural thing. I've always thought if you lined up 10 people, what makes us stand out as Catholics, right? Are we just another person in the crowd? Or are we living our faith in such a dynamic, expressive way that people look at us and say, there's something different about that person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that. That is the question that you have to take from this, you know? Like, am I someone that people can look at and say, what's different about that person?
Do I stand out?
Yeah, do you actually exemplify? Do you exude Christ to others?
And you're not doing it out of a sense of kind of filling yourself up.
Oh, like, it's not pride, not arrogance.
It's just your natural, I guess you could say personality, but it's your natural aura.
It's surrendering aura.
Whoa.
Hey. You're surrendering yourself to Christ, and so he becomes he reflects himself greater and greater through and
you're basically glowing.
You're a channel.
It's like, it's cool to see.
So we're going to wrap up this episode number one. You guys have any final thoughts or remarks?
Daily Mass every day. Well, Tuesdays through Friday, 10:30.
So 9:30 on Sunday.
Thank you, Andrew. I was messing up.
It's all good.
In the comments.
So let's recap that so it's clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Daily Mass, Tuesday to Friday at 10:30. Sunday Masses are at 9:30, and you could find all of that on our YouTube page, St. John Parish. Or St. John the Evangelist Parish. And you could also find it at sjeplus.org.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep. And then in the comments, or you can simply email us on the parish website, stjohnparish.org. Feel free to leave topics you want us to talk about in the future, especially on this podcast.
Right, yeah. So. Definitely.
Comment section on YouTube, comments on Facebook, St. John Parish. And then any ideas that you want us to explore, any of these Greek terms you want Andrew to break down any further, we'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, definitely. So,
all right. St. John the Evangelist.
Pray for us.
Be safe. Be blessed, everyone.
Peace. Cool.